Don't be alarmed. The quasi-shimmering light before you is a trans-dimensional gateway to other worlds, other voices, other thoughts, and other realities. Up feels like down, and down feels like the number 7 on a Wednesday morning. Don't worry. That quivering, blood-boiling sensation under your eyebrows is all a part of the charm. Welcome to the PCC Multiverse.
And we're back with another episode of the PCC Multiverse. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from the Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, Swell, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and in this show, Chris Sardieri and I from Inside Sports Fantasy Football will be covering NFL free agency and how it will affect your fantasy football team. That'll be coming up later in the show. Plus also as well, of course, the Lakers fast break. And of course, all the great things that we do each and every time out at popculturecosmos.wordpress.com. So if you could like, share, follow, and subscribe, plus give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcast, so we can be on all the algorithms and isms and what isms and Google isms and Facebook isms and Instagram isms and TikTok isms and whatever isms. If you can help us out with that, it is sincerely appreciated. But it wouldn't be a PCC Multiverse without my good friend, my compadre in crime. Indeed, she is the evil pigtailed mastermind behind the great shows that she does today, as far as Vampires and Vitae, While Beyond the Witchlight, and more. Don't tell her husband that, Robbie Ross, because, you know, he works so hard on it, but she is going to take all the credit. It is a good friend, indeed. It is, of course, Melinda Barkhouse Ross. And Melinda, great to have you here, my friend, talking pop culture once again.
Absolutely. Good to be back.
Absolutely. So I hope you've got your running shoes on, because you're going to have to be running because of the Godzilla versus Kong is going to go out there, as far as whatever they're facing, as far as all the kaiju and the monsters out there. But seems like
all of the city infrastructure.
Exactly. Watch out, all these natural wonders of the world, you know, those pyramids and all that stuff I've seen in the trailers, because it is Godzilla X Kong, the new empire that came out on Thursday night to $10 million in preview. So it's going to do very well this weekend. It's going to do pretty much above what expectations were, right? So may even do about $80 million in the box office, similar to what Dune Part 2 did. So we'll see what happens. But your thoughts, I was thinking that with the mediocre at best reviews for this film, plus the fact that there's been so much Godzilla that has been introduced over the past, not even a calendar year, let's say 7 months, 9 months, with all the Godzilla on TV and movies that have already been put out there, having this come out there, I thought it would just, you'd see some burnout, you'd see some fan backlash, but evidently that's not the case.
Yeah, those who like it a lot. Those monster movies definitely have their, let me compare it a little bit. So in radio, right, you learn very quickly that your most dedicated and loyal fan base are country music fans. So when you're working for a country radio station, the fans of that station tend to have a little bit more of a personal connection to you, the radio personalities, because they only listen to the country music station, and they never stray from that. With your pop music fan or rock music fan, you know, there's a lot of channel surfing happening there. Yeah, exactly. Very seldomly do country music fans do that. So what I'm interested in is, you know, the Venn diagram of I'm never changing what I like with the overlap of country music and these monster movies like Godzilla and Kong and that kind of stuff. Because I bet you that it's actually a really big overlap. Anyway, that was just
that's actually a very good insight, because you're right. That's obviously what Warner Brothers is thinking and Legendary is thinking when they, you know, put out Godzilla X Kong, is because there is quite a bit of overlap, because you're talking about, huge supersized monsters battling it out, whether it's against each other, whether it's against another entity. This case, Godzilla and Kong, they're teaming up against other kaiju and going against a group of them, along with Diddy Kong. So cute, so cute. Can't wait to see the Funko Pop of him. Yeah, absolutely. So abs had to get that in there. But it just tells me that there's going to be more of it. And I'm not sure. I'm personally not a huge fan. Godzilla Minus One was great. Mm-hmm. But the recent TV show on Apple TV, Monarchs, Monarchy of Kings, and then also as well, The New Empire, they don't appeal to me. It just not appealed to me because I could only see so many, because I've seen so many bad versions of Godzilla. Mm. Maybe that has turned me off. I've seen so many bad versions of King Kong. Maybe that's why it's turned. I'm limited on my appreciation for this because of the fact that, again, we've seen so much done in this genre already that it's so hard for me to get up constantly within the past 9 months. Now, three times at least where we've had to go ahead and get up for this kind of genre movie.
Yeah. And, you know, it's definitely, I think, a genre that people find, they discover, and I think that they just stay with it. And I like the stay with it crowd. I think it's great.
Well, it will be great because it's going to be a pretty solid opening. In fact, mm-hmm. probably even a very good opening, above expectations. The $10 million previews as far as overnight here domestically could lead to 130, 140, even possibly $150 million opening, which would be the second best opening of the year. Right now it's targeting. So that would be great news for Warner Brothers and Legendary. So yeah, absolutely looking forward to seeing what Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire does as far as statistically. The tepid reviews aside, I want to say that these are the type of films that I don't want to say that the review proof, but they're pretty darn close to it, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even I think it's comparable to how I feel about Star Trek, right? Even a bad monster movie is better than no monster movies. And okay. I feel that way about Star Trek, where even bad Star Trek is better than no Star Trek at all. So, you know, there may be a little bit of that. Perhaps the Venn diagram should be country music fans, monster fans, and Star Trek fans. And we'll see how everything crosses over.
We'll see how it all crosses over. But I do want to go ahead and say it is Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. It is leading, obviously, into more Godzilla X Kong get-togethers, or their fight-togethers, or they fight against each other, or whatever. They're going to continue to go ahead and do more of them because it looks like it's getting off to a better than expected start. So we'll see what happens. But if you're watching Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, let us know. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com. Well, my friend, before we hit the break, I wanted to go ahead and ask you, you said Star Trek. Bad Star Trek or good Star Trek is better than no Star Trek at all. Variety had a big article on what the future of Star Trek was. And we've always, from time to time, you being the resident Trekkie that you are, have talked about the future of Star Trek. And we always love touching on it. So it looks like Variety, in a great big article, touched upon what the future of Star Trek will hold with Section 31, Star Trek Fleet Academy, Star Trek Strange New Worlds, and more. Obviously, the goal is to appeal to a younger audience, trying to get them. Same thing with Star Wars. All these long-lasting entities, it's not about just appealing to our generation. They've already done that or not done that. At this point, it's already fixed. Mm. It's appealing to a younger generation and seeing that IP continue to expand instead of fade away. I think that's the goal. So when you read that article in Variety on the future of Star Trek.
Oh, dear.
Are you there?
Yes, I panicked. Oh, my God.
My gosh. Yellow alert. Yellow alert. Yellow alert.
I was absolute panic. I was like, oh, dear.
I felt like the yes, photon torpedoes ready on this one.
Giving her all she's got, Captain.
Yes. So, what are your thoughts on the future of Star Trek as reported on by Variety? How encouraged are you on what's on the roadmap ahead?
Well, just that we're having this conversation is enough to have me kind of excited as a Star Trek fan. Mm-hmm. I've believed in the IP for as long as I have been watching Star Trek. And I, you know, we've talked about it a lot too, where it just hasn't felt like, Paramount has really taken Star Trek seriously, and that they don't feel like they've really kind of given Star Trek the chance that it needed to prove that it can be successful on a larger scale again. So when I start to hear stuff like, the series that's going to be based around Michelle Yeoh, when you start talking about the Starfleet show, I mean, those are all things that we've, as Star Trek fans, have been really interested in. And it's always one of those things that's continually in the background. It might not get a reference, you know, once or twice a season, if you're lucky. The whole Wesley storyline that they did with the big accident when they were showing off in the shuttlecrafts and all of that stuff with Starfleet Academy. So we've always kind of stepped or put our toes, I suppose, into those ponds. And if they're going to try to make it work, I'm glad to see them taking a chance on some of these smaller, pockets that you can tell interesting stories from with Star Trek. So I hope that with the Starfleet show in particular, we get to see a new recruit come in. And then it's almost like they're going to be teaching Star Trek to this new group of fans that are coming into the show. So I think that's very clever in a lot of ways. And it may set them up as well to feel more comfortable going back into, let's say, the next generation with its notorious techno babble. And be able to, I'm going to hesitate to say understand, but be able to at least cope with some of that jargon. I hope that it does a little bit of that and exposes people to it a little bit more in a way that might not be so intimidating.
Now, the Section 131 movie covering some of the time that Michelle Yeoh, Academy mm-hmm. Award winning actress, spent on Discovery and her time there working for the secret organization they're in. It's going to be a TV movie. It was planned to be a series, but unfortunately her time schedule only permits so much time to go ahead to devote to certain projects. And it's actually played out to be a TV movie, which could lead into another TV movie. It was quoted in the article. So let's hope for that. And let's hope it is a big success on Paramount Plus. It is going to be very interesting how that lays out, because that still leaves out the biggest question of all, and that which they alluded to in that article, Variety did, was the fact that there has been no major film, major motion picture that has actually 100% resonated on and in the cinemas to the tune of over $500 million. The original Star Trek film, the reboot of Star Trek film, excuse me, in 2009, has been played ad nauseum all over the place. It's absolutely mm-hmm. one of the most watched films on cable, on broadcast, on whatever format you've said, as far as outside of the theaters, since 2009. That has been understandable. Into Darkness obviously played very well too, but neither of those movies, no matter how appealing to a broader mm-hmm. audience, did not generate the kind of huge overlapping hit internationally that you were hoping for, or that they were hoping for at Paramount. So tell me your thoughts on what they need to do to go ahead and cycle through this to get a major motion picture, because I think that's the last piece. They are focusing that with Star Trek Prodigy. They did try to focus on the much younger audiences with Star Trek, Starfleet Academy. They are trying to approach younger audiences, 20 years old. They're trying to get them into a series that they can call their own. Star Trek Strange New Worlds is absolutely brilliant for what it is. Mm-hmm. But what is, that's the last beacon right there. What do they need to do to get that done?
I'm really not sure what the secret sauce is to have a Star Trek film be successful in the theater at the box office. I don't know what it is, and I don't know why it's traditionally had such a hard time with that adaptation. It puzzles me, so I'm sure that it must puzzle.
It's the final frontier in more ways than one.
Yeah, it really is. And it's, I don't know if it's, you know, relying on the same writers who are perhaps thinking more TV than they are thinking cinema. I don't know if that's where it's coming from. Because I know that Jonathan Frakes has been involved in directing at least one of the movies. And I just don't know how, it's going from like the production crew of the television versus the production crew of the movies. Mm-hmm. I think that perhaps they need to be separate entities, but they need to share the lore between the two of them to make sure that it lines up. I'm always going to say that the first phase of Marvel, when the first phase of movies were coming out and we had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV, and they were able to take everything and connect everything together. If Star Trek could pull something like that off, I think that it would again become a must-see series. And you may be able that way to get something out of the movies that way.
Well, there is a new... I'm just going to say this now. They have hired a new writer after new writer after new writer, but they just Variety reported that there is a new writer for whatever Star Trek 4 is going to be for now. Yeah. But I don't even believe, until I actually see a trailer coming out, mm-hmm. I don't believe that Paramount will okay anything at all until we actually see it come out. I'm just absolutely convinced that they're very hesitant to go ahead and put $200 million on the line for an entity that has never, ever, even with how good 2009 Star Trek is, they've never been able to prove themselves to an international or worldwide box office.
I wonder if the problem is that the budgets for the movies are too big. And that said, I know that feels counterintuitive, but you know, perhaps some of the magic is being lost in your ability to just do it in post. Maybe they need to go back to having things be a little bit more practical on the set. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. I really can't see what that answer is. I'm just glad that there's not as much lens flare in the shows anymore. I'm glad that went away.
Well, I will say this. Jonathan Frakes said it best in that article, if you remember his quote. I'm paraphrasing, but his paraphrasing was that Star Trek, the fans that he meets are more our age, and he rarely meets fans of the series that are in the age that's needed to have the series going at a healthy fashion. So we'll see what happens, but it is the future of Star Trek. What are your thoughts on Star Trek? Is it starting to look more like something that you might be getting into? Or if you're a longtime fan, are you happy with the directions it's going? And your thoughts on what a Star Trek movie that you think would connect with a worldwide audience? Please let us know your thoughts. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com. For the latest news and information, analysis and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today on wherever you get your podcasts. And we're back with another episode of Inside Sports Fantasy Football. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from ISFF, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, also as well, the Pop Culture Cosmos, and of course, the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate you listening to all of our great shows, and if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe, follow, or do whatever it is you can to support us right here at the ISFF, and of course also the great things that we do at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, and of course, the show up on all shows that you got to get. Absolutely, the Domination Sports Nation. Go ahead and check that out as well. If you can support all these great shows, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, it is NFL back in business. Last week, there was a myriad of action as far as transactions are concerned, because it's that fabulous time each and every year. It's NFL free agency where teams just say, we don't want you anymore. And another team will say, we want you. I've heard the words, another man's garbage. It's, but obviously we don't want to deal with that. That's kind of mean-spirited, whatnot. I've heard all those phrases in the past couple of weeks. But basically what it comes right down to is it is NFL free agency. Who made the moves that might help your fantasy football team win this upcoming season? Good Man Indeed is here with me now. He is one half of the great team for Domination Sports Nation. It is, of course, Chris Lardieri. And Chris, great to have you here. Another man's junk is one man's treasure, those type of proverbial things. But I understand it's very cold and mean when you say it like that. But, you know, the way that they are treated, these NFL players treated under this hard cap and the way it's structured, it kind of is like that, because it does become an issue of where beauty is in the eye of the beholders.
Yeah, it definitely is. And with, you know, agents and GMs leaking things to the, you know, plethora of media, social media, influencers, I don't know what the term is these days. There's just so much noise out there that, you know, it's not like the old days where a lot of this back talk and, oh, your guy's not worth it and he's asking too much kind of happened behind closed doors. And now it's out there for all of us to hear, see, and consume.
Absolutely. So with that said and done, you know, I want to touch on obviously the major issue and the major thing that went on as far as the running backs are concerned, because that was a huge area of change as far as running backs from one location to the other. And I know we've talked about the running back position on shows as far as the lack of emphasis on that position in recent years and the devaluing of the running back position. But obviously it always starts with the quarterback. I guess the main highlighted move was Denver. Was it about $85 million that they've choked on in order to go ahead and get rid of Russell Wilson, who I understand he's 35, but he actually didn't have a bad season. He just had a lot of bad targets that he was throwing to. His accuracy wasn't that bad. His touchdown interception. It reminds me of a lot of the season before Aaron Rodgers got the MVP, because it was like an under the radar season that people were saying he's slipping. It's all but done. You can all start to see him getting washed. Then Aaron Rodgers came back, had the MVP season. I'm not expecting that for Russell Wilson now that he's in a new location in Pittsburgh, but it is the highlighted free agency move of the summer.
Yeah, definitely. And with what Wilson was getting paid, you know, albeit the Broncos ate a lot, like you said, I think that was a move they had to make. I mean, Sean Payton inherited him. He did not trade for him. He didn't advocate for him, clearly, as we saw with the benching late in the season. And on the flip side, I think from a risk-reward perspective, the Steelers aren't paying him a lot. There's incentives in his contract. It's a one-year deal. And then they go out and give up a late draft pick to get Justin Fields. So some people think, oh, is there going to be a quarterback controversy? I don't necessarily know. I personally think Wilson will be the starter, but at least they know they've got him for a year. If it doesn't work out, they've got an escape hatch, and Fields could be there next year in the waiting, or even if Wilson gets hurt or does have a poor season, they've got some insurance. So I thought that was a real interesting move by the Steelers.
It was, and also as well, Kirk Cousins, the man who has been, he has been roasted for quite some time. But if you're a fantasy football owner, you are not like a Minnesota Vikings fan that has just continually just said, oh, you know, you just had to deal with him, whatnot. He's provided some good numbers when he's been in the lineup for Minnesota. He has won me personally when I've had him in my fantasy football team a number of games. Now he heads over to the Falcons. This is the Falcons statement saying, we want to win now. We're providing you with a lot younger, more athletic, and more talented as far as wide receivers, running back, tight end, similar to what you had a few seasons ago in Minnesota. So your thoughts on Kirk Cousins, the other big name quarterback, to head somewhere else?
I like the move, and a lot of people rip Kirk Cousins and cite the amount of money he makes and can't win in the prime time or playoff game, etc. But I think from a fantasy perspective, this is good. The NFC South is weak. That's an understatement. The Falcons have a new head coach and Raheem Morris, new coaching staff, and they've got a lot of offensive talent that really didn't materialize the last few years under Arthur Smith. So if I'm a fantasy owner, I think that's good news for any Falcons players. And frankly, I think it's good for Cousins himself, because I know the Buccaneers are a great story and they kept Baker Mayfield and gave him a 3-year deal. But I just think in terms of talent, the Falcons have the most of it on both sides of the ball. And, you know, complain all you want about Cousins, his injuries, his production. Like you said, you've had him in fantasy leagues previously, and I think this bodes well for him in 2024.
A lot of expectations. Let's just get off the fantasy football thing for a second. A lot of expectations in Atlanta now with his signing, and I think also the Steelers as well. I think these are veteran quarterbacks. I don't want to say on their last legs, but on their last legs of high productivity. So they are available in the mid rounds, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They very could well be a steal for you come later this year.
Definitely. And look, the Steelers went to the playoffs and hung in with the Bills with Mason Rudolph at quarterback, and they had to win games on the stretch with Rudolph. So this is a winning team. It's a team with running back depth, wide receiver depth. We know they've got a good defense and an excellent head coach. So I don't think you could go wrong there. Now, caveat being, if you do wish to take a flyer on Wilson, you're going to have to handcuff him and have a serviceable backup. Is Fields the guy? I'm not sure. I mean, I think he showed flashes of brilliance in Chicago, and then he just showed some flat out poor play. But I just know that, you know, given that coaching staff and the weapons he'll have around him, I think this could bode well for Fields long term. Just it's a matter of time to see how he's going to handle being the backup and not the man in Pittsburgh.
It was indicated in Pittsburgh that he is there as the backup, and Wilson is going to be the starter initially. So we'll see what happens. But I think that both at the right circumstances, especially Kirk Cousins, I think could have a really good season. And there's some real expectations in both Atlanta and also as well Pittsburgh, as Joe will tell you. I wish Joe was here, because he would really tell you as far as his expectations on that. He didn't hate it. He didn't love it, but he said this could be a key that helps Pittsburgh gets to where it needs to go.
And yeah, in terms of a quarterback duo, I'll take those two over Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. So at the very least, just on paper, it's an improvement. Now, are they Super Bowl contenders? That remains to be seen.
Thanks for checking out the PCC, you know, the Pop Culture Cosmos. We'll be back in one moment. What is Planet Cool Stuff? It's your ultimate destination for insightful exploration from the realm of pop culture. Delve into the world of movies, video games, toys, cartoons, and visit with one-of-a-kind creators, discover incredible places, and see historical artifacts. Whether it's a toy room tour or exploring the best of pop culture cinema, Planet Cool Stuff has got you covered. Planet Cool Stuff, exclusively on Jinx Esports TV Canada.
Once again, it is Inside Sports Fantasy Football. It is Chris Artieri along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching and listening. We're talking NFL free agency and how it might affect your fantasy football decisions come later this year. And I think that you're now going to have to get a scorecard out, my friend, because the running back position was a great position of change in the past 2 weeks. So your thoughts on the best movements in running back and which teams seemingly have prospered the most?
You know, As a Giants fan, I was not surprised to see Saquon Barkley go, given what the price is and what the Eagles paid him. I know there was a lot of conjecture about, you know, from Tiki Barber and a lot of the other hot takers in New York about, you know, he's dead to me and how dare he. The guy just wanted to get paid. Do you blame him? It's not like, you know, he's going to Russia to play football and bringing
Sabres. And these guys don't have a finite window of athleticism or a finite window of being healthy in the football, in the league, especially at running back. Cause once you get into the upper 20s, once you get into your 30s, you're persona non grata in the league for the most part. So yeah. How can you blame him for trying to cash in as much as you can, as quick as you can, while you can, if you're Saquon Barkley?
Absolutely. Look at how quickly Ezekiel Elliott, after getting a big payday, was, you know, pushed to the side for Tony Pollard in Dallas and then out to New England. But, and now Pollard got a payday in Tennessee. So yes. I thought that was interesting too. So look, if Saquon stays healthy, we saw what DeAndre Swift did in Philadelphia. I mean, I know towards the end of the season, that whole offense imploded, but if Barkley stays healthy, I think he's a good fit for that Eagles offense. On the flip side, one of my favorite fantasy football running backs last year led our team to the playoffs, Devin Singletary of the Texans, a much more durable running back than Barkley. Giants paid him a fraction of the price. I know some people criticized it, but I like him. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll know him from his Buffalo days, and I think that's a good signing right there. I was happy that the Giants got him. I would target him not so much as a fantasy sleeper, but a guy maybe you get in the later rounds for some good value, as opposed to, you know, reaching on someone a little too early. I like that move. I also thought Joe Mixon to the Houston Texans to replace Singletary. Mixon's been excellent with the Bengals for all his ups and downs. The guy produces with CJ Stroud there, even if it just ends up being a one-year rental. I really like that move too for a team that's looking to make the next move from, you know, getting into the playoffs on the last game of the season, winning a game, hanging tough with the Ravens. This is a team that's looking to make a move and become Super Bowl contenders.
We just talked about Saquon Barkley, about how, you know, you got to cash in while you can, because as a running back, especially, there's only a finite amount of time where you're productive in the league. One of the most productive running backs of the past decade, Derrick Henry, has signed and actually got, even as a 30-year-old running back, a two-year deal with the Ravens. Actually pretty decent money for a running back, even at his age. So your thoughts on this? Could this be a deal with very good implications, or do you think that Derrick Henry is seeing a lot of mileage, seeing a lot of yards, and may not have as much left in the tank?
Yeah, I would go with the latter, but I do think at least this year he'll probably be reinvigorated. The Ravens have an excellent offensive line. They've got Lamar Jackson, the perennial contenders, and with Gus Edwards leaving for the LA Chargers, which is another signing I like, and not just because he and I are Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I do think Henry's the main man in Baltimore, and as long as he stays healthy, he's going to get the carries. And from an organizational perspective, that's good news for the Ravens, because I feel like with a lot of injuries and revolving door type thing at the running back position, at least they've got a clear-cut number one, a guy you know who will produce. Now, I don't think it's going to be for the 2 or 3 years like you might get with a Saquon Barkley, but at least here in the near term, I think it's a good signing. Again, we're here to talk fantasy. I don't care about the contract, the guaranteed money, all that. You know, my eyes glaze over and all, but just looking at who can get me points on my fantasy team, I think Henry will improve from what he did in his last year in Tennessee.
So I ask you, my friend, with all that said and done, again, a lot rides on fantasy football on the quarterback and running back positions. It's interesting to see that the Mac Jones experiment, all these experiments from earlier this decade, we're not talking 10 years ago or 5 years ago. We're talking 20, 21, 22 draft choices. A lot of them were all jettisoned out, you know, and just by teams that have literally no patience. Mac Jones among them, as far as his name. And then, like you talked about, Kenny Pickett gone. Just all these draft choices now just gone of recent days. So your thoughts on the lack of patience that this, I guess, this cap has and creates, because if it doesn't meet your needs soon, just choke on the money, or just to choke on the part of the money that's guaranteed and just move on from there.
You have to, because as they get into that fourth and fifth year and you debate whether to extend them, to franchise them, to give them a long-term deal, to the Patriots' credit, I know there's a new regime in there now with Belichick gone, but yeah, even if Belichick were to stay, I wouldn't be surprised if they would have jettisoned Jones. It's not working. And, you know, in the NFL, the one thing is you have a losing season, you're near at the top of the draft. You've got to get yourself a quarterback. If you miss 1 year, you've only got a few years to evaluate, and you're back in this cycle again. And I think that, too, you look at a team like the Giants, I'm sure the rest of the NFL saw what, you know, they're going through this negotiation. Daniel Jones walked away from the table, and suddenly he's got this four-year deal, which is really a two-year deal at about $40 million per. And a lot of teams are like, we don't want to deal with that, despite the fact that Jones got hurt on top of it. Daniel Jones is not a $40 million a year quarterback. I don't even want him on my fantasy team. So I think teams are seeing now it's better to cut bait too soon than get in that trap where you're stuck paying a guy. And that's what we saw the Bears do too with Justin Fields, frankly. Yeah, they got a draft pick in return, but for all intents and purposes, they dumped him.
One thing I do want to ask you, though, is the great story, I think, one of the best stories out of free agency, or at least the signings, is someone who didn't go anywhere, but came on a very big gamble by Tampa Bay, and he just signed a $100 million contract. I don't know if he'll be able to cash in all those years or whatnot, because Baker Mayfield doesn't have the greatest track record in the world, but it is a great story about him coming back. I don't want to say from the scrap heap per se, but you know what? I'm being mean. So let's say it's from the scrap heap. I just say that, you know, as Cool Bro is in the audience as a Rams fan, he knows what Baker Mayfield did. But look at him now. He had a great season last season, got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the playoffs. And I'll tell you what, he has really started to cash in. I don't know if he'll be able to cash in all those years or restructure or whatever, you know, because it just seems like to me at by the end of his contract, something will happen. But if he has Mike Evans still there alongside of him, and he can still play at a high level, and he gets enough help out there, he can still play in this league. And it shows that Baker Mayfield, we thought of him and we talked about him on this show as a player who could surprise a lot of people as a pickup, as a waiver wire pickup, not only earlier this season, but also when he was subbing in for the Rams as well. I'm glad to see. It's a good story. And I think it should be noted about Baker Mayfield signing a big contract.
Yeah, it is. And Baker Mayfield is not to be confused with Johnny Manziel. Mayfield had some unfortunate injuries, didn't really get the shot he deserved in Cleveland after taking that team to the playoffs. You know, was released by Carolina. The Rams pick him up. Sean McVay gives him a shot. He has a great Thursday night game, and he ends up with the Bucs, wins that job. But you hit the nail on the head, Gerald, with Mike Evans back. I really like the way those two worked this past season. I think that is good for Baker Mayfield. And then, too, a lot of these quarterbacks we're talking about here, oh, it's not Patrick Mahomes, it's not Lamar Jackson, it's not Jalen Hurts, right? But what is the drum we've been beating over the years? You need a backup quarterback in fantasy. And not only because your starter may get hurt. He may not. He may play the whole season. But what happens at the end of the season when you're in the playoffs? Oh, quarterback gets off for a week, or, you know, they're playing a cupcake team, and let's just say, for argument's sake, Jalen Hurts only plays the first half. You want a guy that's in either a playoff position or fighting for a job. And down the stretch, there are a lot of teams that won playoff games, I'm sure, with Baker Mayfield at quarterback in late December, early January.
It's a great story, my friend. And I remember when Baker Mayfield came out of college, he was, you know, the golden child. He was doing commercials. He was doing a whole bunch of things. And everybody was like, wow, you know, he's going to be the next one. He's going to be the next great one. And it didn't quite pan out that way, did it? But look at it. He was able to resurrect his career, because we've seen so many times these quarterbacks just hang on and they bounce from team to team to team to team. All these high draft picks. I mean, you can just name a slew of them right now off the top of your head. It's good to see that Baker Mayfield, you know, he was in that category a year ago. He is now considered a star quarterback as of now.
Yeah, the name that comes to mind is Sam Darnold, bounced around again, now to the Minnesota Vikings. Will he be this year's
Garoppolo?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll see, but there's always one good story. Remains to be seen who that is, but yeah, I'm happy for Mayfield. I mean, I think he deserves the contract given what other quarterbacks get paid. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say he's underpaid at, you know, whatever it averages out to, 33 per year. But, you know, compared to what the Dak Prescotts and Daniel Jones of the world are making, it's relatively, I don't want to say inexpensive. I'll just say less expensive, but you know, good for him. Remains to be seen if Darnold will be this year's version of Baker.
Well, it reminds me so much of Geno Smith. Last year's Geno Smith is this year's Baker Mayfield, because it's such a great story where you had guys that could have easily fallen and stayed in that journeyman syndrome where you're just bouncing and you're around, you're not ever going to get another good opportunity. And when you do, it's usually in a losing situation with whoever is going to be the quarterback next, whether they get drafted, get picked up. It just never seems to work out once you lose it. But with Geno Smith last year in Seattle and this past season with Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay, it just shows to fantasy football owners that you need to keep an eye on these quarterbacks and don't automatically say they're done once they leave their original team.
Absolutely. Don't be dismissive. And, you know, even with Garoppolo, right, going to be a backup with the Rams, Matthew Stafford's still there, yeah, but he's aging. As we saw in that playoff game against the Lions, he showed some real fortitude getting knocked around and staying in the game. But let's face it, he's already had arm issues. Jimmy Garoppolo's only an injury away from being the Rams starter. So there are a lot of guys out there to keep your eye on like that.
Yes, we did, CB. Yes, we absolutely did. That's what we were just talking about here. It is the Inside Sports Fantasy Football Show. It's Gerald Glassford along with Chris Sardieri from the Domination Sports Nation. Truly want to go ahead and thank everybody. Before we head on out, though, my friend, wide receiver, tight end, and also as far as on the defensive end, what are the other notable standout signings in your opinion? Who made out the best as far as the rest of the players that you saw?
So one acquisition that was via trade was the Giants just completely fleecing the Carolina Panthers for defensive end Brian Burns and then locking him up to a long-term deal. They've got Kayvon Thibodeaux on one end. You know, he had a nice season last year. I know there's been some skepticism about his long-term kind of future with the Giants. Is he worth the money? Is he worth the extension? But you pair him up with Burns, I think that's going to bode well for the Giants on the defensive side of the ball. Wide receiver, I think, you know, we alluded to this earlier, Tampa keeping Mike Evans was a tremendous deal. There are a couple moves, again, not signings, that were interesting to me, and that's the Chargers. They cut Mike Williams because I know they're in cap hell, and the Jets went and picked him up. Now, I think that's a nice improvement at wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. You know, if he doesn't end up being vice president of the United States, at least has someone good to throw to there.
He stays on the field, because Mike Williams and staying on the field have not always been aligned these past couple seasons.
Yeah, definitely. That's the issue with him. But I think in terms of a risk reward perspective, good signing by the Jets for once. And then the Chargers went and traded Keenan Allen to the Bears, and it looks like Caleb Williams is going to be the new QB there. He's got himself a steady, solid target to throw to. So remains to be seen. Look, there's a lot of hype around Williams, but I think it'll be interesting to see how Allen materializes in Chicago opposite DJ Moore. I think that bodes well for both those guys. And then two, you know, there's buzz he wants a trade, but the Bengals franchising T. Higgins, I think, was an excellent move. He may be PO'd and he may want to leave tomorrow, but you know, to get his big payday next year, I don't begrudge him that. But this is a team, as long as Joe Burrow's healthy, they should have been Super Bowl contenders this past year. I expect them to do it again this year. And, you know, with Higgins and Jamar Chase, those guys are always going to be dangerous fantasy football receivers.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos. If you're tired of sifting through flea markets for rare and unique games, we can help. Retro City Games in Henderson, Nevada, only 5 minutes from the Las Vegas Strip, has all your favorite gaming staples, classics, and a wide selection of rare games with new stuff always appearing on our shelves. Come in and chat with Nicole or Doug about your love of games and watch as they help you complete your collection or find your childhood favorite. And don't forget, Retro City Games loves trade-ins. So if you have any Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega, Xbox, PlayStation, or even PC games, come in and visit Retro City Games today. Welcome to the new metropolis of gaming, Retro City Games.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I don't feel like that people have done that as much, especially with this international release.
You can get out there right now.
I know you can get it out there, but it feels like this time last year, people have just been like, oh,
you
can
get
you go.
The
Here's
cell phone
copy.
Version yeah. that was taped somewhere where it's like, you know, shell shaky, has some dude or some family that's walking right in front of you as they're finding their seat with the popcorn already in hand.
No,
you know,
come on.
That,
really?
Yeah, that version is already available.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
with a mono sound. There you go.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the worst part. You only get sound on the left ear, not the right ear.
family. Something like that. You can find that version already if you really want to. That's the Pop Culture Cosmos Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. But my friend, before we head on out, thanks so much again to Chris Sardieri from Inside Sports Fantasy Football, dropping his knowledge on NFL free agency. But before we head on out, Melinda, wanted to go ahead and mention to you about the, I guess, just best of television so far this year, quite possibly just originates or is about the country of Japan. Because if you have not seen Tokyo Vice and Shogun, you are sadly missing out on some of the best TV this year. Your thoughts, Melinda? I know you've seen Shogun. Please let us know your thoughts on Shogun so far.
Well, I mean, I feel like you can add the Blue-Eyed Samurai into that pile of just fantastic.
But that would
stuff.
Mean that was 2023 for me.
Oh, okay. Sure. But, okay. No, I love everything that's coming out of Japan right now. I think that Shogun is a masterful piece of television.
Godzilla Minus One is 2023 too. That was outstanding.
Yeah. So I just think that if you aren't at least taking a chance on some of these shows that, you know, we talk about, why? What is holding you back? Go and watch. It's so good. And you can, I know Shogun people are like, oh God, I saw subtitles. I'm just not a subtitle person. I'm not into that. They do have a full on dub that you can watch that has everybody, you know, speaking English and you don't get lost in it. But to me, it adds such an interesting twist to the show, and it helps you to feel as out of place as, you know, the sailors do when they first arrive. So I think that it does add an interesting layer of realism, I guess.
That's the way I prefer it. Same. Watching it. I've seen all the episodes to date. It is simply outstanding. FX so has won again with this outstanding series, Shogun. And it is, you know, obviously from the book that was made many years ago. And then there was already a Richard Chamberlain miniseries that was done around 1980 that was at the time extremely popular because television miniseries at that time on broadcast television were like a special event and they were treated as such. So it has absolutely been done with some care, with some love. And again, we're not finished with it yet, but what we've seen so far through six episodes has truly been outstanding, Melinda.
Yeah, it really has been. And the amount of times that my nerdy little heart has been so happy that because I find something in every single episode that I can apply to my LARP character. She has dropped some chilling quotes from Shogun at LARP, and it's been really fun. I have no shame actually about it. I'm quite shameless, but no, it's such a great show. And there's something about the show for everyone. There is the will they or won't they stuff that's happening. There is
the forbidden love.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it's so good. All of the political stuff is really interesting with resigning from the council and all of that. That's been really interesting. It's a show that you never know where it's going to go. And you're never really, I don't think, going to understand who is pulling what strings and what strings are attached to which characters. That's kind of where I've been trying to figure out the show. And I think I have some of it untangled, but definitely not all of it.
Well, before we head on out, my friend, again, Shogun, please go ahead and catch up if you have not already. FX, Hulu, and Disney Plus, they're all playing it.
Yeah.
It has been a tremendous hit for FX, Hulu, and Disney Plus. You do need to catch Shogun. It is absolutely a very loving remake. We always talk about the remakes on the show. You, me, and Josh, we always talk about the remakes. About, here we go, another 80s remake again. You know,
yeah.
This is one that has been done right and has been done well. So please go ahead and check out Shogun. Catch up on the 6 episodes before the season ends. It is truly worth your time. Also want to make mention before we head on out, the most under the radar show that you're not watching now. It is the best show you're not watching. It is Tokyo Vice season 2. It is available now on Max. It is something that you have to see. Talking about, it was actually, it's about a reporter, about a gaijin reporter, American reporter, that goes to Japan and works for the major newspaper there and goes basically inside, you know, tries to report on the absolutely just mind-boggling stuff that goes on with the Yakuza in Japan and the control that they have over the entire country and the tight foothold it has on there. And I'm just going to say right now, it is just so good. The season one was good, was really good. It was actually part of my best of pop culture of the year it came out. But season two has came out strong. Yes, and absolutely, it is a must watch for anyone there that's interested in. It is M-rated. So sorry, cool bro. It is something I cannot recommend to you as a 15-year-old.
Oh, no.
But you seem to manage to find your way through M-rated stuff anyways. That's all on you. But it is for anyone out there that's over 18. It is truly a must watch because it is really good. The intrigue, the way the storylines interweave with each other, where the characters' story arcs interweave with each other, the battling rival gangs, the one power that is now rising as far as the gang warfare is concerned, the corruption within the police, Ken Watanabe, the just seasoned veteran that he is, absolutely trying to go fight his way through the corruption in the police to get what he can do to stop the Yakuza. And then also, you know, when it comes right down to it, I was really skeptical at first when I started watching this show, because I really thought that Ansel Elgort, who, I know, who doesn't have the best reputation out there, but what he was going to do for this. It's just like this kid going in there. He has done a sensational job because as the lead character, as the guy that goes into the foreland, reports on this, risks his life in doing so. This is based off a true story. The actual reporter is one of the executive producers. Michael Mann is one of the executive producers. The laundry list of executive producers is like a hierarchy of Hollywood. It is absolutely well done. It's something you have to see out there. If you have Max or able to get a hold of Max, it becomes highly recommended. It's a binge watch. Watch all you can in the season. You're only up to, it's about 18 episodes now. So if you can catch it, please do so. Tokyo Vice, the most poorly advertised on Max's part, but best show you're not watching right there, Melinda.
Absolutely. I have it written down. So it's going to be added to our must watch pile.
I'll tell you what, though, it's been great talking about it, but please go ahead, if you can, check out Shogun and Tokyo Vice, because these are some of the best shows on television right now. I'll have a chance to talk to Don Fobbs, hopefully my TV expert here in the coming days, about that, plus also Three Body Problem and more. Go ahead and check out our interview then. But Melinda, it's been a great conversation. But anything you want to go ahead and talk about before we head on out?
Yeah, if you haven't given Shogun a chance, I think that you absolutely should. It's so good. It's so worth your time. It truly is. We are you know, working away with Vampires and Vitae and Wizards and Wine. The Shadows of Larkovnia, we played last night. It had been such a long time since we got together that we actually only played for about 90 minutes. The rest of the time was just a bit of a gab sesh. So when that episode drops, it'll probably be about 30 minutes long. We're having a lot of fun with both games, and things are pretty tense right now for Vampires and Vitae, waiting to find out what's going to happen with Rose's new child. We'll see how it all goes.
We'll see how it all goes, my friend. Looking forward to that. But have you had a chance to check out Three Body Problem yet on Netflix before we get it out?
Yeah, we have been. We watched it, and now we haven't watched all of it. Let me back up a little bit. We've watched like the first 3, 4, maybe 5 episodes, and then we've gone back and rewatched the first 4, maybe 5 episodes, because if I'm going to be completely honest with you, I had a hard time tracking it. The first, you know, I was like, I don't understand. Yeah, I was like, I don't understand how that storyline is connected to that storyline is connected to that storyline. But now it looks like everything is starting to come together, and the picture is starting to get a bit clearer on it. So, I mean, it's great, but it is a bit of a struggle when you're looking at scientists, and then you're looking at like stuff that happened in the 40s, and then you're in the future.
It's in the 60s, but no, I don't know if it deals with, I think it deals with the present, but it's talking about, you know, spoilers, alien invasion that's impending.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mind you, it's going to take place a long time down the road, but
yeah.
But still they have an influence in today's society in several different ways. And yeah, it's very different. It's very reverent. It's from the guys who created Game of Thrones, and yes, it's something is compelling at times. It was a good watch. There were some special effects on the couple of the last episodes that kind of turned it down for me. But overall, it's a good watch. It's a good, strong watch. It is hard to get a hold of at times, but I think it's worth your time. So
yeah, for sure. And it is worth, you know, going back. If you watch the first 3 or 4 episodes and you're like, I don't quite track this, I think it is absolutely worth your time to go back and give rewatching those few episodes a chance before you give up on the series. Because when we went back and watched it, there had been a couple of things that I had missed in the very first episode that as soon as I saw those scenes, I was like, okay, now everything that makes a lot more sense. So you do have to be paying attention to the show. Don't be doing that and then working on a crossword puzzle and talking on Facebook Messenger. You know, don't be doing that while you're watching the show. It does need your attention.
Well, definitely looking forward to hearing more thoughts from you on how it finished up in 2 weeks, because we come back in 2 weeks. Next week, I've got John Orlando for the PVD cast, where we're talking and previewing WrestleMania. But we got 2 weeks ahead. I want to hear a full report from you on Three Body Problem, my friend. So
no problem.
All right. Maybe get Robbie in on it as well. I want to hear Robbie's thoughts on it as well, because it is the thing right now on Netflix. It's one of the biggest shows of the year. It's Three Body Problem on Netflix.
Yeah, and Robbie will be absolutely down for looking at the show and kind of taking it apart a little bit. I mean, that is what he went to school for. So he definitely has a different perspective on a lot of the stuff that we watch together. I'm like, yeah, it's a good show. And then he like takes it apart philosophically from the director's point of view. We can get into some pretty long-winded conversations sometimes just about TV shows. So
any last thoughts before we head on out, my friend?
Yes, watch Shogun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Tokyo Vice. You are missing out on some really good television.
Yeah, that's, you know what? I'm not doing anything else today. Nothing else on the docket. So that might be what I do today.
There you go. Dune Part 2 for you yet?
Gosh, no. I'm working on it, though. We're getting closer.
All right. As long as we're getting closer, that's all I can ask.
I will send a photo of myself in line at the movie theater when it happens.
Okay. All right. Absolutely. Hopefully with your husband.
Well, obviously, yes.
Oh, you can send him to go watch something else, you know, like Godzilla X Kong or something.
Yeah, no, I think that if anyone was going to have to miss Dune, it would be a travesty if it was Robbie that missed it. He adored the books, is what I'm trying to get at. I never read the books. I've just been enjoying the movie. So
send him to Godzilla X Kong just as punishment.
Yeah, just go.
I know this is the movie you really wanted to see, but I'm sending you somewhere else.
Yeah, I need your movie review from that one, not this one.
Yeah, there you go. So from Linda Barkhouse Ross, this is Gerald Glassford. It's another beautiful day in paradise right here in the PCC Multiverse. We thank you for listening. And here's hoping you have yourself a great day.